Hello there, my name is Pavel Brodowski, and you're listening to Rebel Spirits, a podcast about legendary jazz musicians from behind the Iron Curtain, who sought freedom in the art of improvisation. Throughout this series, I'll be telling you the tales of five Polish jazz musicians. Each of them came of age in the 50s and became mesmerized by the music they heard on the radio. You'll hear about difficult decisions, compromises, and longing for a better world. How they went from learning to play jazz from worn-out vinyls to becoming icons that continue to inspire the music world today. In this very first episode, we're meeting the queen of Polish jazz, Ursula Dudziak. Ursula is a brilliant vocalist. She's been exploring the possibilities of her five-octave range for over 50 years. Her search for sounds led her to develop a unique style of wordless vocalization processed through electronic devices. Her voice sounds almost otherworldly. She brought a new quality into jazz music and introduced it to popular culture. Ursula is not only a prolific musician, but also a great storyteller. Here's how her story goes. Coming up on Rebel Spirits.
Jak miałam 4 lata, rodzice mi dali na święta cudowny klejnot.
When I was 4, my parents gave me this wonderful jewel for Christmas, a beautiful accordion. I was a cute and beautiful child. I looked like Shirley Temple. Nobody could ever imagine a family celebration back then without a performance from sweet little Ursula. So I played various patriotic songs, war songs like I played, and that, I suppose, was the very beginning of my extraordinary journey, my musical adventure.
Did you go to music school?
I did, but they threw me out. I was considered a suspicious character because during recess I played boogie-woogie, and that was frowned upon.
A few years passed before Ursula heard the first sounds of jazz. After the war, and until the early 50s, jazz was a symbol of Western culture's moral decay and was prohibited in the Soviet Union and the communist countries of the Eastern Bloc. This started to change after Stalin's death. Censorship loosened and some echoes of Western culture started being tolerated. One of the ways jazz reached Poland was through Voice of America, a radio station funded by the US State Department.
It's now 10:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The station was meant to bring American culture and censorship-free news to the people locked up behind the Iron Curtain. One of the daily shows was dedicated entirely to jazz.
Time for Jazz. Willis Conover in Washington, D.C. with the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
The Voice of America Jazz Hour.
And Willis Conover announcing the program every evening out of Washington. That blew us away. We were all ears. We listened religiously, and he bombarded us all from the other side of the Iron Curtain with that music. And I also fell in love with jazz.
Zdobał nas wszystkich za żelaznej kurtyny muzyką, którą pokochałam do bólu, jazzem.
I tam usłyszałaś Ella.
And that's where you heard Ella.
Ella Fitzgerald at the 5th Festival of Jazz at Antibes.
Ella zrobiła na mnie niesamowite.
Ella made a huge impression on me, and I understood two things. One, that you could sing like that, without words, and sing like an instrument. I remember singing Lady Be Good.
Lady Be Good.
It must have had 18 choruses, and I knew them all by heart.
Ursula's father gave her a reel-to-reel tape recorder. Thanks to that, she listened to Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and of course, Ella Fitzgerald.
A jeszcze wracając do tego magnetofonu szpulowego i tak sobie wyobrażałam.
Going back to that reel-to-reel tape deck, I would listen and imagine that I was singing along with the big bands.
Uwaga.
Now, pay attention. I'm going to jump 14 years ahead. I'm sitting in Manhattan at Willis Conover's apartment. His wife, Shirley, is cooking while Willis picks up my album, Newborn Light, which I recorded with Adam Makowicz for Columbia, and he says, Ula, I'm playing your album tomorrow on the radio.
Ktoś mi powie, że marzenia się nie spełniają.
Now tell me that dreams don't come true.
Indeed, dreams do come true. Could Willis Conover ever have dreamed that his show would hypnotize young people on the other side of the world? Or even better, that an entire generation of outstanding Polish jazz musicians would be born listening to it?
Let me come back once more to Willis Conover. In Zielona Góra, it was some kind of a revolution. We were interested in nothing but jazz. American jazz. Jazz allowed us to spread our wings. It was a call to freedom. We wanted to be free, wanted to play whatever music we liked and to dance to it, because we always danced to the standards, didn't we? It was something, this whiff of the West, something beautiful, magical. It inspired us and rescued us. It gave us peace and good health and a clarity of mind and beautiful, sensitive hearts. I'm still so grateful for all this today. So I think a lot about Willis Conover. What a beautiful job he did, introducing us Poles to this beautiful music which we loved with all our hearts.
And suddenly, where you lived at the time, in Zielona Góra, a pianist appeared by the name of Krzysztof Komeda. I hear that was an event that completely changed your life.
Bardzo, naprawdę.
It did.
You've already heard an excerpt from Komeda's Roman II during our intro, and you'll definitely hear his name and music more than once in this series. As a pianist and composer, Krzysztof Komeda was a pioneer and free spirit of Polish jazz. His iconic album, Astigmatic, remains the most cherished relic of those early days. Back to the story. In 1961, Komeda's trio was touring with a cabaret troupe called Tingle Tangle. After a show in Zielona Góra, someone told him there was a young jazz singer that he should listen to. The next day, Ursula went to see him.
Ja przychodzę, patrzę, Krzysiu siedzi przy pianinie.
I walk in and see Krzysztof at the piano. Okay, I heard you sing.
No tak, śpiewam.
Yes, well, I do. So what will you sing? I'd like to sing Goody Goody and maybe A Foggy Day in London Town. So he starts playing. I sing those two. And he asks, what are you doing during the summer holidays? And that was April, maybe May. So I respond, I don't have any plans yet. Okay, so come join me. You can sing with me at the Hebride Club. My legs went weak. I thought to myself, what? Me? With Komeda? In Warsaw?
Ursula packed her bags and went to Warsaw.
And that's how it began. I sang for Krzysztof for a whole month, and that month flipped my life upside down. I began to believe that maybe, just maybe, the world might open up where I could actually sing for larger numbers of people who might like it.
And then, at some point, you met Michał. How did that happen? Was it at a gig at Hybrydy?
Yes, Hybrydy was the center of jazz music at the time, and we all knew each other within the jazz community pretty well. And we would bump into each other and say hi, and then we would get to know each other a bit better, and then a bit more.
We'll be talking with Michał Urbaniak in episode 3 of this series. When Ursula met him in Hybrydy, he was one of the few Polish musicians who had already traveled and played in America. He was very talented, young, but already experienced.
Pojechaliście do Skandynawii.
You traveled across Scandinavia in 1964, I think, very early on.
Yes, that's right. 4 years in total.
Could you tell us about this period in a few words? What happened there?
Michał dużo przepijał, a ja resztę przegrywam w ruletkę.
Michał drank most of our earnings away, and I gambled away the rest.
Graliśmy w przeważającej
We mainly played in Sweden. We hadn't considered playing elevator music in restaurants, but we were lucky. We had Karolak and Dąbrowski. And we managed to stick to playing proper jazz.
Myśmy byli tam sensacją na tamtym rynku.
So we became quite a sensation on that market. Partly because none of the great Swedish musicians would stoop to play restaurants. That would have been an embarrassment for them.
I tam właśnie w Skandynawii nagrałaś...
And there in Scandinavia, you recorded your first album with Michał. It was called Urbaniak's Orchestra.
Tak.
Yes, you're right. That's where we recorded it.
Towards the end of the 60s, you returned to Hybrydy, and you returned with your own music, right?
Jeszcze nie bardzo, jeszcze nie.
Not just yet, not quite. In those years, 68, 69, 70, for 2 years or so, we played upstairs at Hybrydy and polished our music, myself and Michał, and we were joined by Paweł Jarzębski, Czesław Bartkowski, and Adam Machowicz. And there, upstairs, our music was born. And then we traveled all over Europe, polished their repertoire in German clubs, Austrian, Swiss, Italian too, but mainly German. We traveled to all the clubs we could. I sang in student dives where they smoked so much it was black with soot, and they drank beer after beer and they smoked till the air was black. I often thought to myself, God, how much longer can I sing like this? It felt impossible. I was simply suffocating in that smoke.
Once the 1970s had got going, Ursula and Michał had become pioneers in fusion jazz. Here's a sample from the 1973 album Super Constellation. During that period, Ula came up with a new vocal jazz style. This was for her a breakthrough moment. How did that happen?
I always joke that I have a poor memory for lyrics. That's why I sing without words. But that's obviously untrue. It was an accident, really. We were traveling around Germany, and Michał had an electric violin by then. And he liked to snoop around music shops, and he'd bring his finds to the hotel, guitar pickups and such, and he'd play. And I heard his experiments. So he hooked up his violin to these gizmos, but as soon as he was out the door, I'd connect my microphone and suddenly... Echoes, strange sounds. I went crazy for them. I loved it so much. And so, of course, I started snooping around music shops with him too, testing and choosing the ones I liked. My voice was suddenly from a different planet. I loved the sounds I could make and was completely hooked and just went with it. Experimenting, practicing, getting better and going deeper.
On the piano in the band was Adam Makowicz. We will talk to Adam in episode 4. While playing together, Ursula and Adam discovered a special musical understanding between each other.
I told you how we traveled Europe and played every club we could, right? It was during that period that our duo emerged. I'd always been Adam's greatest fan in the band. I was fascinated by his approach to the piano, his harmonies, his unconventional take on music in general. He practiced so much, was so absorbed. It was his passion and it was like magic. In turn, he was fascinated by me and my vocal experiments. So during our gigs, there were always these moments for this duo of ours.
The two of them ended up making an album called Newborn Light. It was the first time Ula used electronic effects on a record.
Our album Newborn Light was the turning point because that's where I truly became myself as an artist. I was free, unfettered. I flew where I pleased. My only framework was that I listened to what Adam was playing, and through his music I traveled into another dimension. And I was happy. I felt good. I discovered this amazing truth. If an artist has this feeling of beauty, of spirituality, then they can share this feeling with their listeners. And that is something wonderful, truly. And this album? Well, I love this album.
In 1973, after a few years of extensive touring around Europe, Ula and Michał moved to New York and took a copy of the album with them.
I will never forget how we were in a taxi from JFK. We were talking with a driver. He was from Yugoslavia. He asked us, "And where are you from?" "From Poland." "How long have you come for?" "We are musicians. A couple months, maybe." Michał never mentioned to me that we'd come for longer than that. I probably wouldn't have gone. I couldn't imagine leaving, traveling so far for so long?
No, parę miesięcy. Jak zostaniecie 9 miesięcy.
And the driver said, if you stay 9 months, it's as if you've had a child. Then you'll never leave, or you'll miss America forever.
Jest takie powiedzenie, obojętnie na jakim...
The saying goes, whichever shore you're at, it's the wrong one. So when you are in America, you miss Poland. But when you're in Poland, you miss America.
Those first years in America were not easy for a pair of young musicians from Poland. But then came the day that changed everything.
Dokładnie, to byliśmy w biurze u John Hammonda.
Exactly. So we were in John Hammond's office discussing our band's album, and he said we'd have to wait, he'd have to consult somebody, and so on and on. So Michał asks him, perhaps you'd like to listen to the album Urszula recorded with a pianist.
This was, of course, Newborn Light, the album Urszula made with Adam Makowicz.
He had some time to spare, so he put the record on, and after maybe a minute, he turned down the volume and said,
I'm sorry, Michael, but Ursula comes first.
That's what he said. Those were his exact words. They would release my record first, and that's what happened. It was a stroke of luck, because we had no money. We could barely survive, and this saved us. We got our advance, and we could live.
The American edition of Newborn Light received immediate recognition among the public, and among jazz musicians, it was the talk of the town.
George Duke took Newborn Light, this record with Adam Makowicz, to Los Angeles and played it to Flora Purim, you know, from the famous Brazilian duet with Ayrton Moreira. And she said,
who is this bitch?
This is what I wanted to do, Flora said. This is my music. She stole my music.
Urszula was living in the world's jazz capital, and her career was skyrocketing. The 70s were also when she wrote one of her biggest hits, Papaya, in 1976.
We were driving to Philadelphia. We had a Dodge van, this little 8-seater. The band sat at the back, and I sat next to Michał. He was humming something, and I was practicing scales. And I sang this and that, inventing melodies. At the hotel, Michał unpacked his keyboard and said, how did it go, what you were practicing in the car? So I sang it back to him. And that's how it developed. He put it all together, and there it was. We performed it so that people liked it. Great! Let's play it again.
30 years later, Urszula got a phone call about Papaya.
I was in Switzerland at the time with some girlfriends. I wanted to finally learn how to ski. And there, somebody called me from a radio station and said, do you know what's happening? And I said, I don't. What's happening with Papaya? I don't know what you mean. What about Papaya? Go online and see for yourself. And indeed, I saw what was happening with papaya in the Philippines.
Papaya became a huge hit in the Philippines, and everyone was dancing the papaya dance, even soldiers.
So soldiers were doing a drill. And then suddenly they threw their guns on the ground and they started dancing the papaya. I just couldn't believe it when I saw it. I thought, like a small naive child, maybe there'll be no more wars thanks to papaya. I was delighted with the idea. I'm proud of this number and I love performing it. I sing it at the end of every concert. People love it, and when I see how they enjoy it, I enjoy it too, and I'm never bored of it. And I sing it, and I sing it, and I sing it, and I sing it.
Newborn Light may have started Ursula's career as an independent artist. The dance formed around Papaya might have been all the rave, but it's a different album that holds the most special place in her heart.
Here I'm looking at my beloved album, one very close to my heart. I dedicated it to Jerzy Kosiński, The Painted Bird.
After divorcing Michał Urbaniak, she fell in love with Jerzy Kosiński, a Polish-American author most famous for his novel Painted Bird. They were a couple until Jerzy died after a suicide attempt in 1991.
I recorded this album thinking about Jerzy. And after the recording, I felt this tiniest little bit lighter, 20 grams lighter, I would say. The recording allowed me to focus.
Totalnie się zanurzyłam w niej.
To immerse myself.
Oddałam tej płycie wszystko.
I gave it all I had.
I ją kocham.
And I love it.
To jest Ula.
The album is Ula.
Ta płyta The Painted Bird to jestem ja.
The Painted Bird is me.
To wszystko.
That's all. We are extremely grateful to American culture and most of all to jazz music, which is all about reaching and sharing happiness by playing jazz. When you do, you can be yourself and express yourself beautifully. Being ourselves, which is the most beautiful thing, to use your own potential in full, to find your talent, because everyone has one. First, you have to seek inspiration, and we found it in American jazz. And then we created something of our own. We learned the mechanism, how to express ourselves beautifully from the beautiful foundation of jazz, which we learned from our American brothers in jazz. And then we did our own thing with it, and it was beautiful.
And what is Ursula up to these days?
W tym roku kończę 78 lat.
I'm turning 78 this year, and I have read in a new study that between the ages of 60 and 80, people are at their most creative. And I can say with certainty that I agree. And I confirm that this is a beautiful time in my life. I can do whatever I like. I read, sing, play instruments. I've returned to my piano. I play classical music. I've built a house in the country, and everything is brilliant. I meet people, great people are drawn to me, musicians, artists. I'm building an intellectual and artistic center in a village in Podlasie, a little village in the middle of nowhere. And it will shine all over Poland, all over Europe, all over the world, all over the universe.
Na cały wszechświat. Tak, ja tak się czuję. Halo.
That's how I feel. Hello.
Przewlady, ja się dopiero rozkręcam. Naprawdę, Pawełku, jest jeszcze o mnie usłyszysz. Tu i ówdzie.
I'm only just getting started, really. Paweł, you will hear more of me yet.
This episode of Rebel Spirits was hosted by me, Paweł Brodowski. The show is brought to you by Culture.pl, the flagship brand of the Adam Mickiewicz Institute. We would like to thank Ursula Dudziak for sharing her story with us. If you'd like to listen to more records from our today's protagonist and the young generation of jazz players she admires, please see the show notes for this episode or go to culture.pl/rebelspirits. Also, remember to subscribe to our channel wherever you get your podcasts and help us promote the show by telling your friends about it. That's all for now. Keep swinging.